This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
BT and Sal back on the fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. And, of course, BT and Sal here on the fan. We've been talking about a lot of stuff today, BT, whether it's the Jets and their disaster. Check it out on the free Odyssey app. We mentioned the Giants, too, and we could revisit that as well. But the Soto stuff, to me, you know, look, it's going to start to get down to it now. It's going to happen here. People seem to be thinking that, you know, it's going to happen before the winter meetings, or at least right around then, maybe the week before or at the winter meetings, that it could start to, develop and see where he's going to go. And then everything else from there will fall into place. So Yankees, Mets, Phillies. I'm starting to think that if anybody would be a threat to those two, for some reason my gut is saying the Phillies. Like, I don't think so. Really,
Phillies. Imagine him in that ballpark.
I would. I mean, that would be. I'll tell you this. The Mets cannot. Like, it's one thing from a. Look, we did the Yankees perspective with Hal and talking about that. It's one thing for the Mets to lose Soto to the Yankees. That's understandable to a certain extent, right? Still not going to be good enough, but it's understandable to a certain extent. If the Mets lose Juan Soto to the Phillies, that's unacceptable, because that would mean that their owner went far above and beyond what Steve Cohen did. And I don't want to hear about Steve Cohen and David Stearns being disciplined or not thinking until it's worth that. No. If the Phillies are going to overpay, then you better overpay. So that would be one spot where I was just getting a feel like, maybe they could be the sleeper team with a lot of money to play with, trying to win East Coast, friendship with Bryce Harper, whatever it may be. Yep. Like, this is Trey Turner. Kevin Long is there, who he's best buddies with. Like, there are a lot of signs that could be pointing to Philadelphia.
Yeah, I don't rule them out with anything. They're always looking to make a big splash here. I think that, you know, I don't know that I could get on Steve Cohen if he...
Phillies?
If he didn't blow the Phillies out of the water. Like, I think that there's a real... Like, if I'm Juan Soto, and I'm just objectively looking at the situation, to me, the Phillies are a better option than the Mets. For me, if I'm Juan Soto. They've got a better team. They've been better for a while. I think it's a better ballpark for me as I start to age a little bit. I just think the Philadelphia Phillies are appealing. Now,
it's not New York.
No, I know.
I'll give you the ballpark.
I get that. It's good enough for Bryce Harper back in the day.
Well, I mean, he also got the 13 years, whatever, $300 million.
He's going to get 14 years.
Well, I mean, that's why the Mets got to give him the highest offer. I would disagree. I don't think Philly's a more appealing situation. By the way, the Mets did beat them in the postseason head-to-head.
But I'm talking about the last 4 or 5 years. Yeah. There's a real winning culture there. And, you know, maybe the Mets are at the beginning of their winning culture, starting this thing out, getting some sustainability. I don't know. I don't really know what he's looking for.
Yeah, me neither. Right.
Nobody does. We always do the same song and dance. Do I think he's going back out west? I don't. Do I think he's going to Boston? I don't. Do I think he's going to a wild card? I don't. I don't think the Giants are going to spend like drunken sailors like some people thought that they would, so I rule them out, and they are on the West Coast, so I don't think he's going there. I think it's really, at this point, I don't think the Dodgers get him. I think it's, if I had to say right now, the three teams, it's Yanks, it's Mets, or it's the Phillies.
Yeah.
Those are my three teams right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm starting to think, that maybe the Phillies could be that third team. Ultimately, I still think he ends up with the Mets for the many reasons that we've gone over before. By the way, the Mets did make a trade yesterday.
I saw this.
Getting a center fielder in, is Jose Siri? Everybody's focused on the last name. I kind of forgot about his first name. But he was a player. Look, he hit a home run, taunted the Yankees. Soto then got him back. He's not a great offensive player. He's got power, strikes out a ton, but... He is an elite defensive center fielder, and I just can't express to you how much I love that. Basically, he's going to replace Harrison Bader. So right now, he's not necessarily going to be the starting center fielder for the Mets, but he probably will be.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to commit to that. Will Salmon of The Athletic was reporting on that, saying he's not definitely the starter. But, I mean, a guy with pop, a guy with potential, and a guy with a great glove in center field, sign me up for that all day, BT. I love a great defensive center fielder.
I hear you, but he's also a guy with a massive hole in his swing where he's lucky if he hits 200. Now, there's a point. I'm not saying I don't like the move. I do. I do like the move for the Mets here. I think he's got more speed and more pop than Bader. And I think he's got more speed and more pop than Taylor when Taylor's healthy.
Right, and Taylor's going to play, but he's going to be your fourth outfielder.
Mm-hmm.
He'll play quite a bit, but having this guy, basically he's an upgrade over Harrison Bader.
Here's where I love the move, and again, I do like it no matter what. Like if the Mets, let's say the Mets get Soto, and let's say they go out and they get Adames or one other player, right? Whether they retain Pete or they bring in Walker if they lose Pete, or it's a Bregman or Adames, whatever it might be, right? And now the offense is going to crank out some real runs. I love this guy coming in when he doesn't start playing some defense, 7th, 8th inning.
Yeah.
It's a good move.
Or even for me, I would take it a step further and say starting in center, and you don't need him to be a great offensive player because you have everybody else elsewhere.
Or that.
The other thing is, not that they're looking to cost cut here, but he's not costing anything. So even signing Bader for a year, whatever it was he got, what did he get, $10 million?
$10 million, okay. Yeah. Same as Seve.
Yeah, so you're saving now $10 million that you could go invest in a pitcher.
Yeah.
You know, they just, it's just a smart move. They gave up nothing from Eric Orsi. I mean, come on.
No, they really pitcher, right?
Yeah, he's not. They gave up nothing for him. Take him on, have him under control, and at least know you're getting elite defense in center field. And I'm looking at Nimmo in left, Siri in center.
And Marte in right. Have fun.
Soto in right. Chris is in Belleville, New Jersey. What's up, Chris?
What's up, guys?
Hey, Chris.
A couple questions on the whole Juan Soto deal. First of all, I'm a Yankee fan. If the Mets were to sign Juan Soto, I know he was only with the Yankees for a year, but do you think Juan Soto, in the eyes of Yankee fans, becomes a villain of some sort?
Do they 100%.
Do they boo him at Yankee Stadium?
Yes.
Regardless of where he signs? Or just with the Mets, Red Sox,
certainly Red Sox.
Oh, forget about it. I mean, if he comes in as a Blue Jay,
he'd get booed.
He would still get booed, no matter what. He's getting booed. The depth and the venom would be all time if it's the Mets or the Red Sox, and he's not going to Boston.
I agree. My other question on him: the one thing that none of us, I don't think, know about Juan Soto is, in his mind, you know, let's say the Yankees and the Mets were even at $700 million, neither one was going to go over a penny more. He basically just needs to decide whether he's going to the Yankees or going to the Mets. Does he, in his mind, want to be the man, which he can be on the Mets, which he would be probably an instant captain? Would he rather go to the Yankees and play with the man, with Aaron Judge?
That is really maybe the most important question, because the money's going to be comparable. Thanks for the call. Again, this is just a guess. I don't know. But there's something to be said for, I won't say being in the shadow of Judge, but certainly not casting a shadow over Judge. I don't know. Does he crave that? Does he need that? Does he desire that? Some people do. He might. I don't know if he does. Or is he just really compelled by the fact of, hey, I go to the Mets and I'm the guy and it's all me and it's my show. I don't know what he truly values once the money's even, which it's going to be.
I mean, it's still Francisco Lindor's team, but Soto's going to be a star that overtakes him. I mean, it's going to be the two of them together, but Soto's just such a mega star that even though Lindor is going to be the captain or whatever, you know, whatever, the leader of the team, he's not going to be overshadowed the way that he would be in Yankee lore, Yankee history, with all those other big names and legends and greats, and even on his own team. And look, though, you can make the case, though, BT, even with Judge having the monster year, like, all the fans were in love with Juan Soto. He was the shiny new toy, and he was great. Like, and he performed in the postseason, like, Yankee fans loved Soto, I would argue, even more than Judge this particular year.
Well, we were also dating him last year, and I think we all know, because those of us who are married and no longer date, those dates, those first couple of dates, maybe you overlook a couple things. Maybe you fixate on a couple things as well, negatively.
I liked it.
The first couple dates, you enjoyed it?
Not even just the first couple of dates. I mean,
I understand.
You're married, it's about taking out the garbage and feeding the dog.
Come
before
on.
You get married, you're single, you start dating, it's about other things. Mm-hmm. More fun things. More regular fun things.
I hear you. you know, but like when you're dating, you are, yeah. you, 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 you are more intoxicated with the good, and maybe you are a little bit more willing to overlook some things that might bother you, which is my point. So while we're dating Soto, the shuffle's amazing. He's an amazing hitter. You kind of, he's not a great right fielder, but look at what he does in the batter's box.
And, yeah, I know.
You know, all of a sudden, you know, you're with somebody for a while, those things start to annoy you a little bit more. So I think that while Yankee fans would always treat him, I mean, listen, they booed Aaron Judge, so anybody's going to get booed. I don't think that it's a lifelong, hey, no matter what you do, you get a free pass. If you're awful in right field and you don't run the bases well, I don't care what you do. You're a baseball player for the Yankees. You're gonna get criticized.
Yeah, and I think if he comes out of another uniform, in particular in the AL East or from the Mets, he is going to get booed. Kevin is in Massapequa. What's up, Kev?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi, Kev.
Kiki. Sally, last time I spoke
Tierney,
to you.
You mean BT.
You say Tiki?
I thought that's what you said. BT and Sal, Kevin. Yes, but go ahead.
Tiki?
I'm sorry, BT. Hi.
That's all right, pal.
Okay.
You guys
were talking about Boomer before and what he might be jealous of. Well, the one thing of every time I've ever heard him talk about quarterbacks on the air, on that show, every day, every single time afterwards, the only thing he ever mentions is, this guy makes $32 million. makes this many millions. This guy makes that many millions. Right? He goes, and I made $1 million. That's what I made. But
that is true, Kevin. And thank you for the call. And in case you missed it, we were talking about Boomer and Burrow, and maybe Boomer is a little jealous of Joe Burrow. Check it out on the Free Odyssey app. That is a good point that Kevin brings up. I have heard that from Boomer before about the millions and millions of dollars that these guys get in comparison to his years.
Boomer's not the only former athlete who kind of wades into those waters. You hear that quite a bit. I mean, which I understand. I mean, I think the problem is you see this in the NBA. You know, you see this guy's in the back of rotation for baseball, you know, fourth outfielders. These guys are making life-changing money, and they have no impact, real impact on the team's success. I think that's what bothers the former athletes, Boomer or whomever. Like, they're good with, you know, Burrow and Mahomes and Lamar and these guys getting loot and getting paid because they're great. It's the other guys who are average, who are grossly overpaid, which bothers them, which I understand.
Well, right. He should be more bothered by a guy like Daniel Jones getting $40 million a year who couldn't hold Boomer's jock. I mean, we just got to call it how it is. Here's the question. Maybe you're better with this. Like, 40 times, if Boomer was making $1 million at his peak, whatever. I don't even know what it is, but that's what Kevin said.
Mm-hmm.
So is 40 times what he got then
comparable
now
to now based on where the economy's gone and the value of the dollar?
Right, because these guys make so much now that Jones could be cut at the end of the year, which he will be.
Uh-huh.
He's set beyond anything.
Yeah, like, for sure.
But, okay, so if you make $1 million or $2 million in 1988, I don't think that sets you up beyond.
Okay, let me give you an example. So are we going to go 1988?
Whatever.
Pick like 88. Yeah, we're going fine, like late-ish 80s. All right, so like in 1988, whether it's Long Island or I would imagine up in Westchester, certainly really affluent parts of Connecticut, I would think that like the nice homes, all right, back then were probably three change. Like, you had a $300,000 home back in the day. You had like a $4 million home now, maybe five. So you have to look at it that way. So if a pro athlete's making $1.5 million and, you know, Joe Burrow's home is worth $37 million, or Mahomes' estate that he built is worth $73 million, if Boomer's or whomever putting out, $312,000 for a mansion in Long Island. Well, number one, first of all, the ability for that mansion to grow from then to now is a lot. Like, Mahomes is not going to sell his home that he paid $70 million for $400 million someday. But I guarantee you, because I just know what my parents paid for their home in the late 70s, which was like $40,000,
right,
and I know what it's worth now. So the ability to grow your money, like from a real estate perspective, there was more opportunity then. And you got to look at it, dude. It applies to everything: private schools, cars, property taxes. So I don't know if that's the exact answer you're looking for, but I promise you, if you made $1.5 million a year in the mid to late 80s, and you invested just with an ounce of success, you are living well.
Okay.
Not to mention him doing the Wiz commercials Joe Namath and Phil.
And I'm not even just talking about Boomer. And I think in 88, exactly, he made almost $4 million that particular year. Anyway,
in 88.
$25 million career earnings.
Yep. All right, so 12 million right to the government.
25 million from 84 to 97. Like, it's ridiculous. These guys get double than that in a year.
Yeah.
So I just don't think it's equal for what the athletes used to get in comparison to what athletes get now.
Well, it's not. There is a distortion, like, for sure. Words, it's not really, it's not even anymore.
Words, Jones, if he played for 1 year and made $40 million in that 1 year, he'd be good to go.
Yes.
Where if Boomer played 1 year in 1988 with $1 million.
No, correct. I would agree with that.
So that's why then it's not, I don't think it is equal. Like, $40 million is just so far.
But that's not the premise or the pretense I was working under. If it's a one-off and it's a one-year, $1 million deal, you'd be prepared to work for a long time.
Yeah.
If it's, you know, you're making 1.2 and then 1.4 and 1.6 and maybe 2.2, 2.3, 2.4, and this encompasses a good 8-9 years from the mid-ish 80s to the early 90s, you're doing well.
Yeah. All right, Hoff has one more before we break here. You get another Hal quote?
I do. I still don't know where he's talking, but Gary Phillips of Daily News says, quote unquote, we're in a better, this is regarding payroll, we're in a better starting position than we were a year ago. There's no doubt about that.
Oof.
Look, year after year after year after year, payroll similar to this year and the luxury taxes they produce are not sustainable, not feasible. And that's the case for the vast majority of owners and maybe all of the owners. Doesn't mean in any given year I can't do what I want to do. I mean, we've got the ability to sign any player we want to sign.
Here's what Again, Hal, he's bringing up that damn luxury tax.
Here's what Hal's doing. He's telling your boy to bring it. That's what he's saying. Bring it.
I don't think he needs to. Don't poke the bear.
I'm not saying you poke him too hard, but let him know you're not a wuss.
I don't think Steve Coe is gonna. Ooh, there's a new sheriff in town, Hal.
Well, we'll see.
I think Hal's
got to get a badge on the chest.
I think Hal's setting the stage. Next thing you know, he's going to be bringing up the baseball reference page saying Bobby Witt's a better player than...
Yeah, well, I mean, you should take the L on that. I don't want to revisit it.
Dave Lennon,
if I'm starting a team, what did Lennon say? If he agreed with you, he's nuts. Then he knows nothing about baseball.
He came over yesterday.
And I think he knows baseball.
I love Lennon. We actually should get him in studio.
That's fine, whatever. But who did he side with?
You.
Okay, exactly, because he knows baseball.
He goes normally... Wow.
Well, I'm not saying you don't know baseball. That came out wrong, but you know what I mean? It's like, come on, man. That was ridiculous. Witt versus Soto?
No. He didn't side with me on that. He was just saying more so your Soto take. And by the way, I didn't necessarily disagree with it, where you were talking about Soto not being worth that money in comparison to, say, an A-Rod in his prime.
Mm-hmm. Or somebody like Witt, if Witt was to hit the open market based on where he plays and how he runs and all that other stuff.
And that's how it came up. All understood.
Right. Yeah.
You also could have said that when the Yankees traded for him. Now, you did, to be fair to you, you did say last year during the year that there were flaws. Now, you said it on a day where I think it was like, oh, the Mets might be getting... Steve Cole might be going against Soto.
Do you really have to dilute it with that? No. Is that really true? No, is that what I said?
Truth be told, because I remember being giddy, like, oh, look, the Mets are going to get Soto.
By the way, he can't run. He's not a good outfielder.
What you said is not wrong.
Uh-huh.
However, he still is the best player available, and his two elite skill sets...
Tools.
Oh, yeah, exactly. They're what is valued the most in the game today.
Yeah.
And it's why he's going to get paid that guy. Like, I don't think anybody's worth seven. I don't think Ohtani's worth $700 million. I'm sorry. I don't care if he can pitch or not. I don't think he's worth that. Good ball players are $700 million. So do I think Soto is? And look, Ohtani, yes, pitching-wise, maybe you see him start to pitch and then you think, okay, well, maybe he's worth that much because of what he could do. As a offensive player, Ohtani can't play the field and he's not... You know, this is 50 bases. Big deal, still 50 bases.
I mean, 50 bases is 50 bases.
I don't get caught up in that. Yeah, like, I think Judge is a better all-around player than Ohtani. I don't think Judge is worth $700 million.
Well, but listen, you can't look at it dollar for dollar because the money and the revenue stream that he's going to generate from the Japanese investors and income is, I don't want to say that's incalculable because you could always calculate it at some point, but it's still coming in. So I don't think you could fully calculate it now. I mean, listen, the only thing that I think is a little overstated here is when we say that, you know, and I was the first to say this, I'm like, he's a two-tool guy.
Yes.
All right.
But not just this offseason, you said it in season.
Yep, he's got power and hits for average, but he doesn't hit 50 home runs, which is A-plus power and very rare, and he's not a 315 hitter regularly, which is batting average plus. So, what do you hit, this 285? I mean, it was a really, really good year.
Right, I get it. But for me, why I love him so much, and it's before he ever set foot in Yankee Stadium and pinstripes or whatever, I love his clutch ability, the the lack of intimidation by the World Series, by a nasty lefty, by New York.
No question.
Those are all things that I value tremendously. Again, is he worth $750? Like, I could see why you and others would say, I'm not going there. That's reckless. For me, I'm going there because I want the player. BT is out back on the fan. We'll get back to your calls here in just a second. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. BT, there's more than just Tommy DeVito taking over the lead, starting quarterback for the Giants. Also, Daniel Jones has been delegated, seems to be the fourth quarterback, and probably going to wind up on the practice squad. Dan Duggan saying Jones was the fourth QB up in individual drills behind your guy.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Timmy's getting a shot.
Apparently, the Giants also think Timmy could spin it.
Hey, they're no fools up there. Timmy Boyle. It is a sad ending. I was reading Jordan Renaud before, and just the way it's described, like Daniel Jones is just basically drifting aimlessly on the practice field. The hand warmers getting ample usage as he just watches. It's sad. You know, it's sad, but I mean, maybe sad's a bit of an overstatement. He's incredibly wealthy, but it's a little unfair. It's a little unfair, but that's the reality of the way they structure the deal. Like, their performance does not merit being the fourth string backup behind Tim freaking Boyle.
That actually is not right.
It's not right.
You know how hard and critical I've been of Daniel Jones. Like, this is not right. I'm not saying you got to start him. He should be the third string quarterback.
But you've got to put him in a position where he can't see the field. So why?
Because of the money.
Because of the money.
Yeah, okay, but then if I'm a player, then I would be ticked off.
That's why I said I kind of agree with Lawrence and some of these off-the-record takes that they don't like the way he's being disrespected.
Well, but they were mad that he was being benched. That you can't be mad at. You can't be mad that Daniel Jones is benched after starting 2-8 and being bad basically the majority of your career 6 years here. You can, however, be mad if you're being, you know, demoted from starter to practice squad.
Yeah, it seems disrespectful. The only thing that I would say is I think you can be mad. While we certainly get it, and we're way past the Daniel Jones era, but if you're seeing things on film that we're not, I don't know. I mean, I know he's not throwing the ball when guys are open. Everybody knows that. But are some receivers, maybe even some young ones, neighbors, maybe not always running the right route? Yeah. I mean, do they know things that we don't know? And if they think that their guy who is, you know, who has been a tough guy in terms of being a physical quarterback and resilient through injury and never complains and never shows up a teammate, not once. You see Daniel Jones put his arm up like Rodgers. Where are you going? Why aren't you here? How do you drop that ball? He never barks at a coach. He just takes it like a trooper. And, you know, for years he's lowered his pads and he's put his body in harm's way. And they respect that, and they're going to stand up for him, and I respect that.
Maybe you were right. Danny Destitute. BT and Sal, the fan, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Dave is in Seaford. What's up, Dave?
What's going on, man? I want to talk about Soto with the $700 million or
$750.
Mm-hmm. A few years ago, you had Mahomes was getting $550 and or $500, and you looked at it like it was crazy. So in a couple of years, that's going to look good. And Boomer would have told him to take a contract in Florida so he doesn't have to pay state sales tax.
And who knows? Maybe that's why the Rays were getting involved. And thanks for the call, Dave.
Yeah, right.
I can't get caught up, although Soto's mom is an accountant, so she's familiar with the taxes. Hey, that's got to be a big part of it. I mean, we could minimize it because you're thinking, $500 million, $700 million, whatever it may be. It's a ridiculous amount of money. Dude, the taxes are a real problem.
Yeah.
Throwing congestion prices. Who knows? Maybe we'll stay in Philly or sign in Philly. Like, I mean, this is...
It's not much better there either.
Yeah. What taxes you're talking about?
I think if you want to really circumvent that stuff, you go to Florida, you go to Texas. I mean, the worst places to be are where we are, California, a few others. I mean, that matters. I've always been of the mindset that there should be kind of an adjustment. So, like, say if the salary cap, Sal, is... I don't really even know what the number is. I'm just throwing out the $300 million, right? and it's a whole $300 million. And the quarterback of the Giants is making $40 million.
Right.
But the quarterback of, and I'm not really fully aware of the tax implications in Michigan, but just rolled the example. Yeah. And Jared Goff is making $40 million in the state of Michigan.
Right.
And if the taxes are not the same, or maybe Tampa Bay Bucks is a better one because we know that there's much better advantages down in Florida, and Baker's make whatever he's making, don't you think that there should be an adjustment? Like, if the taxes are so punitive in certain spots, there's an inherent advantage for the teams that reside in states either without income tax or lower ones.
Yeah, it's not right.
So they should adjust it. So basically what I'm saying is, if it's a $300 million salary cap for everybody, then, and they'll do the math better than I can, well, hey, if you're a Jet or a Giant, maybe the salary cap is $319 million based on the advantages that other cities yield, which could open the possibility for players to want to go there instead of here.
But then what
and the NBA as well.
What if the other smaller market teams with less taxes then say, well, you have more marketing opportunities in the bigger city? How do you counter that? Although I do think that that's less significant in today's day and age.
100%.
But it's still, you know, Florida say, well, we can't compete with New York in that regard or whoever, whatever other taxes or, you know.
Who's the most popular football player right now in the NFL?
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes.
He's in Kansas City.
I know.
With steaks and cows.
Yeah. All right, well, what about baseball, though?
Yeah, I think it should apply as well.
But I'm saying, because Mahomes in the NFL is a different story. The NFL, a different animal.
Okay, all right,
baseball. You know, it's Ohtani, it's Judge,
it's Soto. Yeah.
You know, even Lindor started to get some.
I was waiting for you to throw your boy out there. I was just waiting.
Trying to think off the top of my head. I mean, you know, talking about even being in the MVP race, it's hard for
Gunnar Henderson.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I mean, Witt. But
oh, 100%. Yeah, Witt, that's a given.
But it's not to that level. I'm not saying he's not the best player.
I know what you're saying. Is it because he's still so young?
Well, even Trout, like, wasn't. When he was with, even Ohtani, when he was with the Angels, to me, wasn't the way that he is with the Dodgers.
I think that the Trout situation was more about his personality, which was fairly benign. Bryce Harper with the Nationals was pretty damn popular. He wasn't in Philly or New York or L.A. I think it depends on personality quite a bit.
I just don't, to go back to the original point, I don't think it's fair. Now, look, life isn't fair. I mean, I get that. We all know that. But when you talk about competitive sports, professional sports, it seems like there should be a level playing field in that regard.
That's what I'm saying.
I know.
100%.
I agree with you. I don't know how they figured that out, circumvent reality of real life and tax situations.
I think it's fairly simple. Say if you take $100 million, all right, how much do you take home after taxes with $100 million in the state of New Jersey versus how much do you take with a home after $100 million in the state of California or Michigan or any other, you know, or Pennsylvania, any other NFL base state, you do the math, you subtract it, and whoever's deficient, from you add it to the salary cap and give them to circumvent the advantage that the other places have.
I mean, then you could just start from overall, whatever the salary cap is, just say, well, New York has
a higher, that's what I mean.
Yeah,
you tack on the difference.
Not individual players.
No. That's why I said, say if it's $300 million salary cap, it would balloon to, say, $319 for somebody like us because obviously the taxes are awful.
I guess
here.
If you do the math on that, then it makes sense. I mean, I don't know, the whole thing's.
Lucky us. The most taxes, the worst roadways, the worst subways. Yeah, beautiful. What a lucky setup we have.
You saw the congestion prices, right?
I did. And by the way, the traffic has been worse. The last 2 days.
Today wasn't awful for me. Yesterday was just abnormally brutal.
Well, I know it's gridlock tomorrow and Friday.
Why?
I don't know. I didn't see why.
You're going to get hit with that congestion price.
I am.
Why don't you meet up with me and we'll take the PATH train to work?
I can't take trains. I can't.
You're going to pay that $9 a day to get in?
I'm paying the $9 a day.
Yeah. It adds up, man.
I'd pay $20 not to have to ride with you any more time than I have to.
Sal, the fan will come back. We'll finish up with your calls. 888-808-1019.
All right, Sal. And I got a little something for you. Something happened 38 years ago this week that I know you're going to love. I want to lay it on you a little bit.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan. 1019 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today. Call of the Day with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day is brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Ed is in Marlboro, New York. What's up, Ed?
Hey, how you doing? I want to talk about the Giants situation. I know you're big on Mr. Tommy DeLuca. I understand that. But
That's Tommy
he was
DeVito.
That good. Tommy, I'm sorry.
That's all right. It's Tommy DeVito.
He was that good.
Danny DeVito, Tommy Cullets, Tommy DeLuca. Okay, here we go.
There we go. Anyway, wow. If he was that good, why would they bring in Drew Locke? Why wouldn't they make him the backup? Why is he even there? I mean, they even said, though, that the best chance of winning was Danny Dimes there.
No. You could call him Tommy DeLuca. You can't call him Danny Dimes, and thank you for the call. I'm okay with DeLuca. I'm okay with Danny DeVito.
Danny Dimes.
You can't call Daniel Jones Danny Dimes
anymore.
I got
a new one for you. Forget about Danny Dimes. How about Danny Destitute? He went from having money. He's poor. Danny Destitute.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
Come on. That's pretty good.
He's fine. I don't know what destitute means.
Of course.
Can you explain that to me?
I just did. Destitute means poor.
Like, he's not poor.
Without penny. In the football sense.
Oh, okay,
he didn't have dimes in his helmet either when he was playing.
Now I got it.
And Mr. Literal's showing up today.
No, I'm
Jeez.
Sorry. No, I didn't know what destitute meant in this term.
I say this a bit of a reach. You're a man of intellect. Did you at least appreciate the Danny Destitute? You didn't appreciate that either.
Not even close.
Maybe Dove did. Dove's looking at me. No, Danny Dimes, Danny
sorry.
Destitute.
Yeah.
You guys suck. Every one of you.
I thought Danny Dunn was okay.
Danny Dunsky, Danny Destitute.
Hey, there you go. All right. Danny Dimes,
Danny Deplorable. He's not deplorable.
Danny DeLuca.
Anytime you got to explain it, as I had to, try to walk you through it, it's probably not going to go over well with the rest of the room.
Yeah, maybe just read the room like a different crowd. Maybe your intellectual friends that you hang out with by the fire pit could have gotten the Destitute one for me. Over my head.
You really did know what that word meant, right? Yeah. Listen, your vocab's a little better than you lay it out there.
That one I struggled with.
You didn't really know what destitute meant?
I felt like destitute was, I think I was getting it mixed up with destination. Like, you're destitute. Oh, it's his destitude.
Meaning like more of like his destiny?
Yeah. It may be destiny. What's the other one with an ood at the end of it?
Benched. Density?
No, not density. Destitute, his destiny.
Prostitute?
Yeah, maybe destiny I got it mixed up with. Careful.
No, I didn't know it. By the way, I got something for you.
Yes, okay. And
ready?
One more thing, too, but go ahead, yeah.
All right, so 38 years ago today, I think arguably...
Give me the year. What year?
I don't know. Whatever 38 years ago
was. Okay.
86. I don't know.
Okay.
I wrote it out quick, something like that.
Okay.
Did I get it right? I think it's 86.
Okay.
That sounds about right.
Right? 38 years ago...
It would be 2024 minus 38. 1986.
Okay. So it was a good year for the Mets.
Yes.
It's been a long time. Mm. Yeah,
that's why I was figuring where you're going with
Well, nowhere with the Mets, although when the Mets were winning, I'm sure Daryl and Doc, in between trips to the bar and everything else they were doing, they were probably bumping this up a little bit. Oh, yeah. Beastie Boys first hit the scene, baby.
Yes,
really?
Yes,
listen to this stuff. Come on.
Stop.
Break it up, Dobie.
In the place,
love the song. Yeah.
So wait, they made their debut?
License to Ill Drops.
A License to Ill Drops on this day.
It dropped.
God, that's a long time ago, dude.
Do you have a favorite song from the cassette? At that point, it was still a cassette, not even a CD. My goodness gracious.
I'm bad with the names of the songs. Let me bring up the track. Can I bring up the track list real quick?
You got a lot, like You Got a Fight, Girls. Yeah, those are the basic ones.
Girls,
Brass
I
Monkey.
Love, but...
Yeah, Girls was fun. That was a good beat.
Brass Monkey, David Wright used to come up to that.
Brass Monkey.
Yeah, hold on. Let me give you. I'll give you my favorite song.
She's Crafty was always a good one. The new style. It's the new style.
Rhyming and Stealing was great.
Yeah.
The way that it hit right out of the gate there.
Uh-huh.
I love them all. I mean, it's really one of my favorite albums from them. Although I would say.
No Sleep Till?
No, I wouldn't put one of the popular ones my favorite. I would say that my favorite album from them is not Paul's Boutique. What's the one with Get It Together and Sure Shot? What the hell is it? Ill Communication.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was my favorite. And plus, just like my time growing up.
I used to burn a hole in this thing, man.
Yeah, well, did you listen to when it first came out? Like,
yeah.
Okay, see, for me, it was years later.
No, I had it in real time. I was 12.
Yeah, man, I loved all these songs right here.
My dad's like, what the hell is this?
Paul Revere was great.
He's used to Elvis Presley and, the Four Seasons and doo-wop. He's like, what is this nonsense?
Good find by you. Hoff, are you a BC fan
great.
Or no?
He's got to love it.
I am, but I dislike this album a lot.
You dislike this album?
It's very boring to me. I feel like most of these songs are just overrated. Their albums after that, I mean, maybe they're more produced. Maybe that's part of the reason why, but so much better. Sabotage, one of the greatest songs of all time.
Sabotage, great. Good video,
too. I thought that was overplayed. Video, great, yes.
But listen to some of the words. I'm not going to sing it, but I do the Smurf, the Popeye. I and the Jerry Lewis. Oh, my God. I like Bullwinkle, but I don't like Brutus.
I love it's the Beasties. You ever see the Beasties in concert?
I have not, and it's too late.
Yeah, I did. I did see them back at the Coliseum. I think I told you this. This was years ago. I saw them. Anyway, one quick thing before we get back to the calls here, 888-808-1019. You know, just to reiterate the quote from Hal, because I think it's worth discussing here. When you say we have the ability to get any player we want,
mm-hmm.
you're setting yourself up for disaster.
No, you're not.
Yeah, because he's right. They do have the ability to sign any player that they want. Then there is no excuse, Hal, to go get Juan Soto. I don't want to hear it. You and I view it differently, BT, as far as what he's worth or whatever. They need to bring him back. And fans, the majority of fans want him back. They don't want to hear, well, the salary cap or whatever, luxury tax threshold, or we didn't think he's worth this or that. Nonsense. You need Juan Soto. He got you to a World Series. You're right. You have the ability to sign any player you want. Then go sign him.
I'd say this about Hal. It wasn't like the most boastful flex. Obviously, that's not his personality. He's more conservative by nature, likes to lay in the weeds in the background. For him, that strikes me as aggressive.
Right.
Which to me tells me he might be feeling pretty good.
Good.
About the situation.
Agreed. That is an aggressive, confident quote. Just go land the big fish then. BT and Sal on the Fan. Jeff is in Leesburg, VA. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys. Great to hear the banner about Soto. I definitely want to touch on what Brandon just said because that is just awesome. But a few weeks back, you mentioned the owner side negotiation tactics. And if you're Cohen, I think you start at $650 million, clear timeline to transact, eliminate 75% of the field, and Boris is going to give you the last look. And even if you lose, the fans will still respect that effort at that number. Brandon, your take on Hal's quotes are a stretch. I mean, the owner of Major League Baseball's most valuable global brand, throwing around words like committed and promise, mm-hmm. feels more like a Wilpon-style deflection. I mean, this is Wilpon-esque all over the place. Hal got lucky with Judge, wanted to stay a Yankee. This is going to end differently. And I think for the Yankees, the sooner they can move on with this decision.
Well, I don't think it's a home run. I'm certainly going to give you that, Jeff. I mean, to liken the Yankees to the Wilpons is just unfair. And the Yankees had, what, the second or third highest payroll this year? Now, the Yankees have gotten into trouble because they've had some stupid baseball decisions overtake right. the room. But it's not like the Yankees are sitting around counting nickels. Come on.
I do get the sense that we're going to get the excuse, if in fact they do lose Soto, that it's going to be we didn't want to go to, not that we couldn't, we didn't think it was best to build our team with going to the extent that he got whatever it
is. And by the way, I'm on the record right. before anything happens agreeing with that.
Right. Well, we got to see what it is first.
Well, if it's 12 years, then we got to mess
it up. And I'm on the record of disagreeing with that wholeheartedly. Like, you're
no,
the
we're
Yankees.
Different.
Figure it out. Yeah, the difference is, here's why, though, we're different. You don't believe that if they brought Soto back, they would do anything else.
And I do think there's a slight chance that they could get Soto and Walker. I do.
Okay,
I'm going to leave that because, well, that's true.
It shouldn't be
like a slight chance. It should be, this is what you got to do because you haven't had a first baseman since Mark Teixeira.
And he just said, we have the ability to sign any player we want. Good. Then get Soto back and then build a team with Judge and Soto as your core pieces. You got to the World Series a year ago. Add to it. Maybe the right moves can get you over the top to beat the Dodgers in the World Series.
I think it's worth taking the pulse real fast. Dove, real quick, Yanks or Mets? Where do you think Soto goes as of now?
Mets.
Hoff.
Yanks Mets. Or Mets?
Mets.
Okay.
You know my answer. Come on. I'm just saying it for your
guy.
The difference is now I'm not alone. Well, it's the Mets.
It's also a little comforting since three guys who don't know what the word destitute means. So it's going to be 0 for 6.
We know what it means. Honestly, how it should be used.
Yeah.
I think it's really close. It's not arrogance. I think it's like 50-50. I think he stays in New York. I don't know yet. I really don't know.
Well, we all three gave in.
I feel a little bit better about what Hal said today.
Yankees?
Yanks.
Okay, BT and Sal.
But if it's 13 or 14 years, I don't want them.
Be back. Oh, jeez.
I swear to God, I've said that.
Thanks to everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Dope. Thanks to Hoff as well. We'll be back again tomorrow, 10 a.m. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.